The Making Contact team is Jessica Partnow, Anita Johnson, Salima Hamarani, Sabine Blazin, and I'm Monica Lopez. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
Here at KBOO, we honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, with Tlala bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin Kalapuya, and many other indigenous tribes and nations of the region of the Willamette River and that great river known as Shuaneku, Wimal, Nishaiwana, and Columbia. Many names for the living water force that has sustained this region for countless generations and provided phenomenal life to our blessed ecosystems. We believe it is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationships to each other and the living world. Today we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel, and I'm here with co-host Rachel Haynes. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
We are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. Both of us are public school teachers, and we host every second Monday of the month, where we typically interview educators, talk about what's going on, if they're in their schools or in their unions. And joining us today in the Zoom, we have Enrique Ferreira. Welcome, Enrique.
Thank you, Stephen. Rachel, good evening to you and your listeners.
Yeah, so Enrique, let's start out. Can you tell us about your experience as an educator? Most of the time, our guests work in K through 12 public schools, but your experience is a little different. You're coming from community college. What community college job or jobs have you held that led to your Oregon Education Association membership?
So one of my main jobs is an academic advisor, career coach, but within that job, there's so many hats. I assisted the admissions department. Also, I work with the GED program. And the main goal of the job is to help students enroll in college and earn their certificate or their degrees and help students transfer to a four-year school if they want to, or help them find jobs that are related to their skill set, but also develop those skill sets for those students who are in transition or who are finishing high school. And essentially, that is the main goal.
Great. How long have you been doing that?
10 years. Ten years. And I'm the only bilingual advisor, but there's more positions are encouraging to be more bilingual based to help the student population that is growing, but also there's a need within the job market.
Okay, so now flash forward to today. You are our OEA, our Oregon Education Association Vice President. talk about that journey from where you first became a union member as that college advisor, working in a community college, to where you are now as the VP.
Oh, absolutely. I was recruited by a very conservative local president at that time, Tamara, and she asked if I could be a building rep after I passed my probation. But during that process, I got to see the power of the union assist me and assist others. As a result, I became a building rep for one of the largest buildings in the community college. And I developed those skills of advocating and also listening to the union values that, you know, everybody at the table, all the local buildings brings during our meetings. And then I did that for 2 years, and we started bargaining, and I became involved in bargaining. And that same year, I became a local president, and I was a local president for 3 years. And that was a big learning curve. And within that learning curve, I learned that there was a state apparatus of my local union. I learned that there was a national level as well representation. And then there was an email that was sent to all the leaders across the state, all the members. If you wanted to be an NEA director, you should run for this specific position. And I did. I competed against 10 people, wonderful people, and all talented educators from all over the state. And then I was selected to be an NEA director. And then about 4 years later, I ran to become the next OEA vice president with other four wonderful individuals, and the delegation and the members voted for our views and our mission and objectives that we'd like to accomplish.
And as NEA director, what did you do? So we have three from our state, right? What sorts of responsibilities did you have?
Oh, absolutely. So yes, as an NEA director, you represent Oregon at the national level, which is the NEA, National Education Association, 3 million members. And essentially, you do policy, you lobby for pro-educators and pro-public education policies in Washington, D.C. That is from data and feedback that state presidents and the NEA gathers from their members across the country. At the same time, you make decisions about the organization, the national union, for example, budget, how much money should be distributed to state presidents and what kind of grants and resources should states receive, in addition to other social justice and environmental justice programs.
Great. And I'm happy to hear that your races were contested, both for NEA director and also for vice president, right? Because I feel like oftentimes we have these uncontested races, and so there isn't that same exchange of ideas, and it sort of just feels like somebody just inherits the job. But it sounds like you had some competition both for NEA director and also more recently for vice president.
Yes, I did. And the first time I ran, I had no idea. There was just an interview, so I showed up with the suit and tie at the Portland PAT office, and it was more like an interview in front of a lot of my colleagues I've never met, and they ask a lot of questions, and basically members get to vote based on the answers that you provide and your philosophy and your ideas of where you want to be as an organization and also how you can represent them. And it was the first time in over 30 years a community college member was selected to that position, and also a Latinx member of the community. So it was a really awesome sort of path in that particular moment, because I had no idea anything about the state union, to be honest.
Yeah. So it might interest our listeners to know more about your backstory going back before you even became a community college employee and a union member. Would you share more about that story? And I'm really asking, at least partly because, you know, it's not the typical story we hear or assume about our OEA members.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I'm an immigrant. You know, I went through the school system here in the U.S., in elementary school and high school. I attended multiple versions of English as a second language learner, and also through community college. I went through a community college in San Diego, and then moved to Portland and continued my education at Portland Community College, transferred to Portland State. At that particular time in my life, I joined the Marines, and then I was a college student. And also I was a single parent of a wonderful 2-year-old at that particular time, who now is 18. And I had multiple jobs throughout my college career. A lot of them were in higher ed, but also other ones were odd jobs, like most people who are working their way through the system that is really sort of like push against people who want to be middle class or want to be part of this American dream. And, you know, one of the benefits that I gained from the Marines is that I earned my U.S. citizenship. So I think a lot of people should view the service of serving your country in a very different way. Some of us are U.S. citizens and have a very different view of the armed services. But as an immigrant, it provided me a lifeline and also a different part of my steps to accomplish that American dream. But I think the American dream is part of the world dream. I call it the world dream because everybody dreams of having a stable job, having a working conditions that are good for everybody, including their colleagues. And so I continued to with my education at Portland State. My major is in anthropology, and then I went to graduate school at Portland State in the School of Education with the focus of adult learning and policy and education in higher ed.
Great.
And then after that, Stephen, it's kind of interesting because I was not planning to really work at a community college. I wanted to do research-based type of academic work, but my mentor at that time said you should get some work experience and see what are your thoughts and learn from there and make those decisions. And I stayed at a community college because it's a really wonderful experience. You can see how you change people's lives. And I think that was a great attraction for me.
Wow. I hadn't heard all that story before, so that was really great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. So you've been OEA vice president for a little over a year now. What inspired you to run?
You know, there's so many feelings, right? But one of the feelings I have is that the union could be a very potential, a strong force of agent of change. Unions have the history of doing that. And I think we do, we still do, but I think we've got to maximize that power, grassroots, and also be involved with communities within our school districts, but also within the state, regardless of their political affiliation. The unions have the power to mobilize, change policy, and work for the middle class, and work for those people who want to move up in their social capital or economic capital. For me, economic poverty is something that unions fight for, and we continue to do that. However, we can do it in a very different way that currently the association has been conducting. So therefore, I decided to run, but also with the set of ideas that everybody should be included. I am not a teacher. I'm not a certified educator. Within our union, within our union family, we have social workers, nurses, bus drivers, support staff, community college members. And often the vacuum of the power of other members and other memberships gets lost, and the needs of those members gets lost. But also what gets lost is the how economics impacts everybody, and how the capitalist society and corporations, and how politicians in many different ways are swayed by power and greed, and that impacts people. And I think that us as a union, we could change that. We're the tipping scale that can make those things work. Healthcare is a good example. Housing is a good example. I was in Pendleton 2 days ago, and I'll be driving to Klamath, Oregon. And the number one issue for most people, or and I said number one, but there's several, is housing, healthcare, and pay. They're all at the top of the scale, because as human beings, we need to have those fundamentals. And right now, no one can afford those things. And I think the unions have the power and the social responsibility to help communities, not only their members, but the communities.
Mm-hmm. So when you ran, what did you set out to accomplish originally? What were your goals for your first year?
Well, I think I kept it pretty simple, but I was looking at my stuff the other day, and you know, have a transparent budget process, which we're doing. Be responsible with our members' dues money, which we're doing. Also have a path, for members to have input on decision making in different parts of budget, but not also within the budget, but also across the organization. Something else that I said that I was going to do is to provide a voice to those members of those job categories or memberships that have not been heard for a long time. And I think we've been doing that. But when I speak of me doing this, it's a group of individuals. It's a movement that we created at that time, and it continues to be strong and alive. And that's the beauty of the union, that you have this group of individuals and a movement that talks about the same issues and talks about how we can help each other. And I think we continue to build on that, and we continue to grow. And that is my goal, is to continue to grow this movement to be able to make those changes that are needed. A big change for me is education funding for community colleges, something that we haven't done. I've been talking about it out loud, and I think we're getting some traction. And at the same time, provide funding for K-12 that is exactly what we need, right? For support services, counseling services, social services, nursing, our ESBs or classified members who support teachers, and also the right tools for teachers and the right funding for teachers in the classroom. Because the way I look at this is, teachers are the head of the band. They're the rock stars of the band, right? But the teachers need a drummer, they need a guitar player. They need all these amazing people behind the scenes to help them be successful. And I think what we haven't done well in the state and the system is advocate for the entire band for that rock star continue to flourish. Because what I see is teachers are delivering amazing work, but at their personal cost of wellness, burnout. And if we include everybody else, I feel that teachers will feel more supported. And I think that's what they need in different areas.
Yeah, I really see that just on the ground as a teacher. I had a colleague come to my room and just cry yesterday because she was so exhausted mm-hmm. from not having the resources she needed. And I know in Portland, we have 90 paraprofessional positions that haven't been filled. And clearly there's a reason why, because we're not supporting those people who take those jobs, have a living wage and good conditions. Yeah. So how have your goals changed and your priorities this year, or are they essentially the same?
Well, that's a really good question. And they haven't changed. One of the great advices I received during this job is stay focused on your goals, right? Which we have delivered. Another of my goals early was environmental justice. At OEA, we have a legislative committee that guides the work of the legislative work in the organization. And for the longest time, we did not have the environmental justice or environmental advocacy word in our documents, or getting documents, and it was added last year. So I consider this a win. But what my point is that we have accomplished what we have said, but also at the same time, we're building this momentum for the next level, for the next year, and for the years to come, for people that come after me should be able to build from that. I always say I am laying the path for others and opening the gates for many others who look like me or who have the same experience I did within the union and outside the union to continue to make this system a lot better. What has changed for me is that we have encountered so many different changes internally in the organization and externally. And what I'm saying, I've been saying to people is, we got to do a culture shift. Our priority should be organizing. That has not been part of the organization's culture for a while. And Steven and other members, we proposed to provide grants to those locals who want to organize, and we incentivize them and provide them the resources that they need. And what we've seen is, since we're organizing now, we've seen the increase of membership. That has not happened before. So I think this mindset of culture shift needs to continue to happen. So I knew that needed to change, but was not one of my main goals. It was more of like, I can do that in my second year because I will feel more comfortable with their job. But in reality, we started that in the first year because we saw an opportunity. And so I'm staying focused with our values that we set, but at the same time, we're adding things that we're able to accomplish to make sure we have a leadership, but also a group of members that are able to change and want to change the system for the people. I not only say the word progressive, because to me it's about people power, right? But we want to have a progressive perspective on economics, environmental, healthcare, housing. Those are progressive ideas. A lot of people may disagree with them, but those are progressive ideas. And that's what the union movement started with, right? With the middle class. And I think we have lost that across the nation and within the state. When people hear the word progressive, they think Democrats, and that's not what it is. What it is that we want better things for other people. And that has no political title to it. It's just we want to have better working conditions and living conditions, and that's part of a human nature. So we'll continue to do that, and we hope that in the next several months and years, we build on that.
Enrique, you've sort of hinted at this. You've talked about this some, but you know, OEA is a huge union, right? We have about 40,000 members. So what's it been like to be the vice president? What have been some of your highs and lows? And you know, as you've mentioned, you identify as Latino, and English is not your first language. So have you had some negative experiences because of your background?
Oh, absolutely. So we were 40,000 in the spring. We're now 41,000. So that's a win for us, for our movement.
Yay.
You know, yes, I've been discriminated because of my accent or because the way I look by members, right? But the people that serve the members or the people that interact with members. And that's something that we have to think about as an organization. Do we want to have these type of people in our ranks, or do we want to have loyal people to people? Meaning, we love anybody who comes here regardless of what they do, ESP, community college, and how they look like and how they speak. For me, it's about the people. And I understand that some people need to grow, they need to be educated, but at some point we have to make a distinction of like, why are you hating the LGBTQ+ community? Do we need those kind of individuals? Absolutely not. That's just my mindset. But a lot of people disagree with me. Now, I think that we need people who love people regardless of what they do and how they identify themselves. The lows, honestly, has been that there's no personal time. You work 7 days a week and long hours. It's hard for me to get a balance. I've spoken to other presidents from different states and vice presidents, and it's a hard balance, especially when you have an ambitious agenda. But we have been delivering. I mean, everything that we said, we deliver in the first year. So that's something that I'm really proud of. But it's just not me. It's also the members who supported me and support me. I think OEA needs to change their mindset and their culture. And that takes time. There's resistance within the internal apparatus and the external apparatus. we have a lot of people that want to take the union out. We have a lot of people who go against the union values, and we need to focus our energy and push against those forces, which is big money, bigots and racists who want to take the unions down. We need to really reestablish ourselves as a powerful force, remodernize ourselves. We continue to, in some ways, not in all ways, but in some ways, continue to work as a 1960s, 1970s model. We need to be part of that 2022, 2023 mindset of the communities that we represent, the educators that we represent. We need to be agile to be able to respond to those needs of the communities, not only politically, but also within the with the social movements that are happening. And the unions have a role in that. And I think that we need to also do an education to our members of what are our values, what do the union stands for, to really harness that cohesive unit that we can become. And I think we can do it within our lifetime here in the next 3 to 4 years, because culture takes about 4 to 5 years to change that mindset, right? So we have a lot of that stuff happening for us. It's a good thing. I believe it's a good thing, but there's some resistance, but I think we can overcome that. And with the members behind us, we can definitely make that change.
So unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes left. I could talk longer with you. I have so many questions, but I'm gonna try to compress the last few. What thoughts do you have about your future? Are you gonna run for a second term? And then if you are successful, what does that look like, or what vision do you have? And even beyond that, what do you have as vision for OEA 10 years from now? What would you like to see long-term?
Well, that's a difficult question, but a really good question, because I wanna make sure OEA is financially stable. I wanna make sure that OEA has operational systems that allow us to be mobile and be able to organize, and also for members to have the support and the resources that they need to grow as union leaders. I think that's one of my priorities. My other priority will be to continue to push back on those sort of forces that are attacking the union. But what I wanna see is for members to make more than what they're making now. Right now we have members that are making $13, $14 an hour and they're paying dues. That's absolutely not acceptable to me. That is something that we need to fight and we need to work for. And that's what I was talking about earlier. For the longest time, those group of individuals were not included in the apparatus, were not part of the mission, or they were not seeing their returns from the union. And I wanna change that. I wanna make sure that those people, those members feel valued and part of the system. So I think we can do that. I feel confident. In 10 years from now, I want OEA to be able to be respected in Oregon, regardless of if you're a Democrat or Republican or independent. Any time that a member walks into Salem, to our capital or any school building, and they know that this person's an OEA member, people will have respect for that member because they know what OEA has done for the educational system and what we continue to do. My other goal will be for us to reduce the poverty level within our communities. That will be a long-term goal, working with so many different partners. I think we need to work with our communities of color. We have not done that. We need to start doing that and in the true meaning, not just on the public sphere, actually work with them across the state. The rural communities and the urban communities have similar issues, and they're not because they're from different political ideologies. For me, my goals will be run for the next term as vice president. I want to reduce the deficit for the organization. I want to make sure that I'm delivering the programs that the members need. First and foremost, we have to reevaluate our organization. I want to be part of the, and I've been saying this since day one, we need to reorg the organization to be a modern union, to be able to deliver the requests and needs of the RA, our representative assembly, when members meet. And at the same time, for me, if I'm successful and the members give me the privilege to be reelected as vice president, then I will start focusing on laying the foundation to run for president, but at the same time, get a consensus from the membership and see where we are with all these goals that we have set in place on the second term, and listen to the members and carry the mission and the orders of the members with the vision that is inclusive of all our members, and fight for stable funding in Oregon, provide access to public education to all students across the state. And at the same time, I want to make sure that our housing issues, our healthcare issues are being heard but are being met at the same time, because we can talk about housing and healthcare forever, we have been, but nothing has changed. And I think we're in a critical point that we gotta do that. And when we say we gotta do that, we mean business. We have to change that sort of like a monopoly and the mindset of the politicians, you know? And so I think we can do that. I think when I would like to go for a bigger or a more sustainable funding for all public education systems in Oregon. I think we can do it four or six years from now, but we have to start talking about it now to build that momentum and build those partnerships. And I think we can do it.
Well, thank you so much, Enrique, for joining us on KBOO. Thanks to Jamie Partridge for helping us convert this to a radio ready file. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. to catch another Labor Radio
show. I'm Amy
show.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now! You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are